Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Today, January 26th, is, would you believe it, Australia Day, the traditional day that Australians celebrate their national day. But the anniversary of British colonisation of their country has also become a day of protest for Indigenous activists who consider it to be Invasion Day. To talk about what Australia Day stands for in 2022 and about Australia's place in the world after the recent Novak Djokovic controversy, I'm delighted to be joined by Australian Ambassador to Ireland, Gary Gray. Good day to you, Ambassador.
G'day, Carmack. It's great to be on the show, and I'd love to talk to you about all of those things.
Great stuff. You're very welcome indeed. How do you say it then? Happy Australia Day, or is there a way you say it?
Well, you know, because there are some people who don't see it as a happy day, you need to understand respect. You need to reflect on how some people are receiving the day. For me, it's a happy day. For me, it's a good day. But for me, it's also a symbol of the journey that our nation is on.
Mm-hmm. What do you say then to people who, Indigenous people who protest in Australia, Ambassador, who feel it's not a good day for them, who feel they're still, they call it Invasion Day, don't they? They feel they're still discriminated against in modern-day Australia.
They are really quite focused on the campaign to recognise both the invasion, because it was a settlement of Australia by the British. It was settled under the British flag and British laws. And it brought with it, Cormac, immense suffering and pain mm-hmm. for our Indigenous population. So I understand why they would not see Australia Day as a day of celebration, but understand that it is the day that marks the Europeans arriving, and do have a view about Australia, our place, and how we should mark our nationhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the way you describe it would make an awful lot of sense for people who are descendants of those people. But the indigenous Australians were there for 60,000 years before those Europeans came, didn't they?
There's clear archaeological evidence of Indigenous people living in Australia 60,000 years ago, Cormac. 60,000 years ago. There's clear evidence of trade routes, of the way in which people lived, of communities and of life that existed 60,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so the British brought with them not just the invasion of our country, but they brought with them a philosophy that said it was empty. There were no people. Terra nullius, they called it. And it wasn't until 1993 that our country recognised the prior ownership of the continent of Australia by Aboriginal people.
And I want to move on to other stuff as well. But Australia is a bustling country now, full of diversity. But the fact remains that recent studies show that Indigenous people still suffer from prejudice and discrimination in Australia. And despite that acknowledgement that you talk about in 1993, modern-day Australia, Gary, has not eradicated a fundamental discrimination in the country. Why is that, I wonder?
It's because of where we find it. It's not because of a lack of desire. It's, Cormac, because of the difficulty of getting it, rooting it out, and creating enduring solutions. We do want to do that, and we do recognise our failings. And we do have processes to measure how well we're doing to ensure that Aboriginal people gain the advantage that they should have from living in one of the wealthiest countries on the planet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are parallels with the history of Australia in your own personal history, Ambassador, aren't there? Because you weren't born in Australia, despite being the Australian ambassador to Ireland. You're, dare I say it, a Yorkshireman?
Yes, I can't talk like a Yorkshireman if you'd like me to,
Go on, try it.
I left Yorkshire when I was 8 as a 10-pound pom. And Australia has been incredibly good to me and to my family. And so I've loved the opportunity to be here in Ireland as Australia's ambassador. It's a great job.
Can I ask you, Ambassador, about how, two very quick questions entwined in one, if I may, because we're running short on time. We are looking from afar, obviously, about your, with, you know, regarding your experience with COVID. You're relatively slow as a country to get up to speed with the booster and the vaccination program. And now you may be suffering a little bit, would you agree, with the spread of Omicron there? That one initially, how do you respond to that?
I think you're right. We had zero COVID until pretty close to spring in Ireland last year. And so when there was zero COVID, it was hard to get people to sign up to vaccinations. But also, when there was zero COVID in Australia, there was massive COVID in Europe and in North America and in India. And it was necessary to ensure that that's where the vaccines went. So we were slow, and that brings its own level of pain and difficulty now.
And pressure as well for the government to show that you're trying to deal with this. I mean, did that pressure, I wonder, impinge on how you dealt with the Novak Djokovic controversy? You threw him out effectively in the end, and you wanted to show people that you were tough on people who weren't vaccinated.
Well, we're tough on health measures. But you know, Cormac, I personally think that Novak Djokovic could have dealt with that better. And I certainly believe that we as a country could have dealt with it better. Imagine if we had Djokovic now playing in the Australian Open and playing against Nadal, and then we would have definitively who is the best male tennis player on the planet. I think it's sad that Djokovic isn't able to compete.
I'd love to have Novak Djokovic on the line to give his response to you. But for the moment, until we do, we'll invite you back. For the moment, have a good day. Australian Ambassador to Ireland, Gary Gray, on Australia Day. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
You're a beauty, mate. Thank you.